Wally's, Scholars, The Hi Hat, Chicken Lane, The Savoy Cafe, all legendary jazz clubs. Wally's and Scholars are still here. Boston has long been known as a paradise for jazz, a mecca for musicians and audiences alike. And that's why earlier this month, when renowned saxophonist Wayne Shorter died, the community mourned together. And that includes local jazz legends deeply influenced by his work and by playing with him. Today, we remember Shorter with Danilo Perez, founder and artistic director of the Global Jazz Institute at Berkeley, and a member of the Wayne Shorter Quartet, and also with drummer Terry Lynn Carrington, the founder and artistic director of Berkeley's Institute for Jazz and Gender Justice. We caught up with the two of them earlier this week, and I started by asking Danilo to tell us in his own words who Wayne Shorter was.
For me, Wayne Shorter was an eminent teacher, a soothsayer, like a shaman, a second father. He was a messenger of peace in the world, a creative guardian. All of those type of things. He was a mentor, a huge mentor in my life. His impact on me went from music to life, basically. I think he really was very crucial and made me understand that when you are a musician, when you are an artist, you are channeling your life story as you play. And in order to continue pushing forward the art, you have to remember who you are every day. Who am I? That's the question that Wayne Shorter asked me. Who am I? Who are you? Look at yourself in the mirror and say, who are you? So becoming a human and then transfer those stories and the instrument and the piano and my music, what I write. Write what you love. You know, the greatest lesson I got from him was play and compose music you want the world to be like.
So, Terry Lynn, I want to stay with this, both play and compose, because Wayne Shorter did both, you know, played tenor saxophone, later soprano saxophone, a prolific and really well-respected jazz composer. You listed one of your favorite Wayne Shorter songs as Infant Eyes. This is a little from the 1966 album Speak No Evil. And when we asked you when you first, like, did you remember the first time you heard Wayne Shorter's music, you told our producer he was always there.
Correct. Well, because I started playing so young, I don't remember a time that I was not aware of him. I grew up, of course, loving the Miles Davis Quintet, but also his solo records. My dad had them. So I just feel like he was always there. So for me, the greatest thing in the world was when I finally met him, and I think I was about 21. And then I got the chance to play with him. And he was such an iconic figure, a larger than life figure. You know, I couldn't believe that I had this opportunity to audition for him and to play with him.
So let's actually do that. I was actually going to pick up and play some yes and yes or no there, but I want to go instead to each of you playing with Wayne Shorter. So Terry Lynn Carrington, this is Drummer's Song. It's the 2017 Detroit Jazz Festival, Wayne Shorter Quartet, and you're playing. So let's now play a little sound. Danilo, this is 2014. You're playing with the Wayne Shorter Quartet. You're a member of the Wayne Shorter Quartet. Here's a little sound.
What is so unique about working with Wayne as you start to get deep into his world, you start to get inspired in how he applies the creative process to all aspects of his life. And that is really inspiring. You know, he was wondering always, what is music for? What is the purpose of music? Which comes first, life or music? You know, how do you apply creative thinking daily? And that's the inspiration. You know, before we go to play every night, we had a ritual that we hold our head together. And then he would say, let's make a movie, you know, stuff like that. He would make it so before you play, you were already having fun. so genius, so childlike, so empowering. And he really is a master of, you know, what makes us fearful of the unexpected. He always was asking about that. You can't rehearse the unknown, you know? So there was no way you have to peel off all this stuff and go for it, you know? And he was always looking for that experience in that moment. He wasn't interested in recapping something that we got to it the day before. He would say, let's find another way. He was always inspiring us to grow.
I want to play a little sound. This is Wayne Shorter talking with John Batiste on The Late Show in 2017.
The intent now is to put away everything that was learned, the studied stuff. Again, I always refer, because Miles is the only one that would talk like this. He'd say, Wayne, do you ever feel like you want to play like you don't know how to play? And then he said, do you feel like you'd like to play music that doesn't sound like music? And I have a tape of Charlie Parker giving a lesson, and the student says, Mr. Parker, I have to learn all these scales, I have to memorize all these scales. And Bird said, yes, and after you finish learning them, forget them.
So, of course, Wayne Shorter played with the second Miles Davis quintet. Terry Lynn, both of you, I want to hear from both of you on this. You chuckled, I'll have you go first.
Well, one, it was really nice to hear his voice telling that story. I never heard the Charlie Parker tape part before. And yeah, I think that's any great musician. I think the idea is to learn all the things that you have to learn, but then to forget them so that you can just connect with something other than theory. Wayne used to say sometimes about musicians, especially younger ones that have come out of school recently, that they sound academic. And I think, you know, that was his way of saying, you know, they have to live more life so that they can actually play something that connects to other people's humanity. You can't teach someone that, you know. What you learn in school are just tools to hopefully be able to pull that out of your own life. When he played, he was very intense. So especially like when I played with him in the 80s and it was an electric band, he was sweating, you know, more than anyone else, you know, playing with everything he had. You know, you could see the veins in his head, and it was just so intense. And I learned about playing with that kind of intensity really from him, because if he was whatever he was, 25 years or more, or 30 years older than me, and he had that kind of intention and intensity and determination and life force with his playing, I knew that I needed to bring that as well and really be in the moment. So that was really one of the other big things I learned from playing with him, is how to be in the moment.
So I want to, Danilo, I'll turn to you, but I want to insert a little more of his music here. This is not from the 80s. It's actually 1964. It's in Italy. He's playing with the Miles Davis Quintet. He's soloing This Is Autumn Leaves. Now, Danilo, for people who don't know Autumn Leaves, right, that's not sort of the core basic Autumn Leaves that you hear from a high school jazz band. He's taking it all kinds of places, and I'm struck by that intensity and that living in the moment that you were talking about.
Yeah, because he was about telling stories, and he was living every minute and second as his last time in this earth. That's one thing I learned from him. He never took for granted anytime. I mean, I've seen him applying his creative thinking in everything, and even a conversation, even at the hotel, even looking at a painting. He would be practicing all day. So by the time he got to the stage, he had all this imagination. Right before we start playing, he would say, let's play music that doesn't sound like music. And he got that from Miles, right? And then he'll tell you a story of Charlie Parker before the gig. And he makes you think. It's like he would never be forceful about it. Like, you have to do this. He would just say, hey, what about if we play some UFO material? Something that we never heard. What kind of music you think the alien will welcome? You know? So I imagine him in those times having a sense, another sensibility to the music, in terms of like, he was seeing images. He was seeing the autumn leaves but he also added like, what it would Aaron Leaf would be in Jupiter or in the Milky Way. That was Wayne, you know. He would never waste time to be creative, never. He never wasted 1 second of his life to be creative. I remember one time he had CNN on really loud and he was composing and I was with him there. And I say, what the hell is this? He said, I gotta write contrafact music, Danilo. We gotta write contrafact. So I put CNN and I see the kind of news that are happening, the bad news. Then I wanna write hopeful music. That's what's happening.
So contrafact literally being the opposite.
Exactly, exactly. He said we have to see. Wayne was about, it was about like a human being who constantly celebrating the incomprehensible phenomenon known as life itself. You know, he was a practitioner of the finding the melodies of the art of living for me.
So I'm going to bring in another jazz voice. We're speaking with Terry Lynn Carrington and Danilo Perez, both professors at Berkeley, both played with, strongly influenced by Wayne Shorter. We talked with Mehmet Ali Sanlikol, who's a composer and musician, Berkeley alum, teaches at the New England Conservatory now. And he told an interesting story about his student life and Wayne Shorter. Here he is.
I came to this country in 1993 to go to Berkeley, and I couldn't go back to Turkey. And so I ended up having to stay in the dormitory over that Christmas break. And it was a lonely time. I made myself busy by launching into arranging a big band chart in order to enter a class. There were like about 25 tunes or so listed. In order to enter this class, you had to arrange one of them. None of them spoke to me, but a tune by Wayne Shorter called Speak No Evil. And I remember, you know, those couple of weeks during that Christmas break, I would be listening to that record, Speak No Evil. And Black Market, a Weather Report album. I remember just flipping those over and over and over and over again, and at the same time writing this arrangement, which was my literally first ever big band arrangement. To this day, you know, when I look back to that period, the connection I had with Mr. Shorter was a very special one that got me through a rough period.
And of course, the Weather Report, he was one of the founding members. Terry Lynn Carrington, what can he bring to the students of jazz today? How do you use the music to teach them? I mean, it's going to take life, right, to have enough life, to be improvisational and forward-looking, creative. But what can we teach young students from Shorter's music?
His music is so hopeful. It reflects how he is as a person. And you can hear that. You can feel it and you can hear it in his music. One of the things he likes to say all the time, and in fact, wear on a hat or a t-shirt, is never give up. And you can hear that in every note that he plays. You can hear the polarity of things like pain and suffering, as well as love and joy. You can hear that in every single note that he plays. Is it sad? Is it happy? It's both. It's all wrapped up into one. He's found a universal way to address all things human with every song, every note, every piece of music he composed. That's why if he played just a few lines on a Joni Mitchell album, you know, it still slayed you. You know, it was still brilliant. And she herself said, you know, he was very pictorial, you know, I guess as a player. You know, he played sonically, you know, the images that she was writing about, she was singing about. And I think that some of those things are, I won't say forgotten these days, but I think it's very difficult to do. And I think that young musicians, there's a lot of lessons there to learn.
So, Danilo, I'll ask you a last question, but before I do, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of then and now. So we're going to start with Yes or No, which, Terry Lynn, you mentioned earlier. This is from 1965 album Juju. All All right, and then it's not now, but it's fast forward 20 years. Now we've got What You Dream from the 1985 album Atlantis, excuse me, When You Dream.
When You Dream.
Which you both cited as kind of an underappreciated work of Wayne Shorter's. So here's a little bit of When You Dream.
Really?
So that's a 20-year stretch, right? And Danilo, 20 years later, you're playing with Wayne Shorter. And 20 years from now, where do you see the influence of his music in jazz? When you look, you're the one that talked about he was like, how can we rehearse? How can we play? What's going to happen in the future? So what is going to happen in the future 20 years from now?
He reminded us that it's okay to be vulnerable. That's one thing that I keep in my search, to open oneself and take chances, not be afraid of the unknown, because it's in that process of opening our heart. That's what he taught me. It's the opening up of our heart to changes in life that the fight for happiness draw our musical path. This path that he has opened for us welcome all the music of the world, and a perspective that to me emphasizes interaction of voices, and instead of a self-centered position, you know, like this is myself alone. He was about collective ideas instead of individual ones. His music always inspired us to keep changing, to keep representing, to keep cultivating our minds, to keep forward, to remind ourselves, do not be afraid. Do people say sky is the limit? I think with those kind of memories, sky is not the limit. Wayne left us a lot of doors that we have to open and walk through. We have to go. As long as we keep it in our heart and our memory, we will have enough spiritual material, spiritual food to move forward and create music nobody heard. I'm excited about making music that nobody heard with that dream.
Let's go out on Footprints. This is Wayne Shorter playing with the Miles Davis Quintet, 1967. Terry Lynn Carrington is the founder and artistic director of Berkeley's Institute for Jazz and Gender Justice. Danilo Perez is founder and artistic director of the Global Jazz Institute at Berkeley and was a member of the Wayne Shorter Quartet. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And tomorrow night at the Berkeley Performance Center, Terry Lynn Carrington and Social Science will perform a show dedicated to Wayne Shorter. Music starts at 8 p.m. For more information, you can visit celebrityseries.org. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.